blast, and then it seems as though there's a minor earthquake. And then you look up and you see the fireball as it ascends up into the heaven. It's a wonderful sight to behold.
She's never soared before, from rocky coast to golden shore. Let the mighty eagle soar with healing in her wings, as the land beneath her only God, no other king. Let the mighty eagle soar. This country's far too young to die.
Welcome to the Compassionate Conservative Comedy Players, or the Compassionate Communist Comedy Players, or just call us the CCCP's Monthly Laughing Nightmare, with David Dozer, John McDonough, Mark Kehoe, Christopher DeGuris, Mookie Klingman, Marshall Efron, Alpha Betty Olson, Joanna Sabbath, Scooter the Happy Tone, finally free to devote himself to comedy, John Ashcroft, and me, Janet Coleman, with special guests Will Durst, Tony Sloan, Phil Klein and the Zippo Singers, and Yikes McGee, and Randy Credico as the President of the United States.
To die. You can see it in her eye. She's not yet begun to fly. It's time to let the mighty eagle soar. Let the eagle soar like she's never soared before.
Hark ye, citizens, be alert. These are dark times. Enemies stalk the homeland. If you are filled with uncertainty, if you are up all night, if you are terrorized by terror, stay tuned right now for today's uplifting installment of the inspirational adventures of Captain Privilege and Peter Patriot, two right-wing heroes who can truly say unto you,
fear no more, go to sleep, because we are one nation under God. What could go wrong?
We pick up the resolute Captain Privilege and the righteous Peter Patriot at home in their heavily armored house by the highway.
Answer that, would you, Peter?
Sure. Hello? Okay, yeah, sure, Have a nice day.
Who's that?
God. He said I should wear yellow, bring out my eyes. I have eyes like a cat.
I'm going to the post office. Wanna come?
Sure.
Hello? Oh, yes, God. Thank you. A God said I should buy the stamps with the flags on them. Let's go.
There's a line.
Some people take too much time. Look at that woman talking to the clerk as if we had all day.
Then my aunt had bleeding gums and had to live on soup for 2 years. But you know what cured her?
God did.
That's right. God told her to eat bananas. They're full of potassium. I want to charge this.
Sign here.
Here?
Yes, there. Next.
I'm sending this to the UK.
This package is over 15 ounces. If I'm going to put it through the mails, I got to see your photo ID.
Driver's license, okay?
Fine. Is there a firearm or explosive or anything dangerous in this package?
No. As God is my witness, no.
Hello? Yes, God. Okay. Thank you. God says you're good to go.
Thank you.
Step down.
I'll have a book of stamps with the flag on them.
Hello? Yes, God, sure. Goodbye. God told me not to sell you flag stamps. He said you should buy the stamps with boats on them.
But if God told me to buy the stamps with a flag on them, then I have to do it.
I have to sell you the stamps with the boats on them.
Then I'll use the Solomon solution. Half a book of flag stamps and half a book of boat stamps. Peter, was that thunder?
Yes, and lightning too. God is pleased, oh my captain. Oh, my God! Do you see what I see? Oh! Oh, hello? Yeah. Okay. Oh, God said I should lower my voice and not yell. Do you see what I see?
What?
Over there in the corner next to the table holding the priority mail envelopes, the forms for registered mail, insured mail, and express mail. Look! An abandoned package!
Hello? Yes. I'll tell him. My God says you should turn that package into the bomb squad.
Hello? Yes, I'll tell him. Stop! My God, the God of the majority of the population of New Jersey, just told me that you should leave the package alone.
Hello? Yes, I'll tell him. That was my God. He said that the package belongs to the woman by the door. Hey!
Yes?
That's your package.
Don't touch that package. My God said not to.
But the postal clerk's God said it was my package.
My God said to take it to the bomb squad, and that's what I'm going to do.
No! Take your hands off me. Ah! Peter, help me up.
That's my package. God said so.
Over my dead body.
And I've got a gun to prove it.
Put that gun down. Here.
Hands up, everybody. This is a rocket-propelled grenade, and it's aimed at all of you. With the power vested in me by God and the Postal Authority, I sentence you all to death. They're all gone. I wonder what's in that package.
Captain Privilege. The post office just blew up.
Thank God we escaped in the nick of time.
Jaywalkers, why don't you look where you're going?
You all right, Captain Privilege?
I'm fine.
This adventure has been dedicated to Pat Robertson, Jerry Falwell, George W. Bush, and all the other tens of millions of Americans to whom God speaks all the time.
Things will not be necessarily continuous. The fact that they are something other than perfectly continuous.
If you want to fool the folks, it comes in handy. If you want to tell some lies, pull the wool over their eyes. You can do it with propaganda, propaganda, propaganda. You can liberate the babies from their candy. It's so easy, it's a sin, you're gonna wanna jump right in. You can always depend on propaganda. Life is so hard, so confusing. Everyone's just trying to make ends meet. You can brighten up their day, keep the facts out of their way. Just simplify the complex, repeat, repeat, repeat. Propaganda, propaganda. If you need to change the subject, it's a dandy. If you want to wag the dog, it's like falling off the log. It's so easy with propaganda, propaganda, propaganda. Try and convince the folks the beach is never sandy. You can convert into lies what they see with their own eyes. It's amazing, propaganda. Life is so complex, so confusing. Everyone's just trying to make ends meet. You can brighten up their day, keep the facts out of their way. Just simplify the complex, repeat, repeat, repeat. Propaganda, propaganda. Goes down easy like a snifter of old brandy. Gotta learn how to tinker with that hook, line, and sinker. More easy to swallow propaganda. If you want to stir the pot, make it look like you're not. Just add a shot of propaganda. If you want to rule the roost, then you need a little boost. I recommend propaganda. Propaganda.
We now go to CCNN, the Compassionate Communist News Network. Former New York City Police Commissioner Bernard Kerik has said he wants to help the victims of the tsunami, but he said he would like to have a hotel room overlooking the disaster for himself and his Gomata, like he did for the Twin Tower disaster. He said he would sell taser guns to the local police where they can keep the people away from the food. There will be no term limits for the people elected in Iraq this month. The Iraqi people have opted instead for the traditional Iraqi elections of assassinating elected leaders. This way there will be elections every 3 months in Iraq. And now, more good news from Iraq. We go to CCNN's correspondent, Abdullah Al-Paisan Ben Ghazada Ali G.
This is Abdullah Al-Paisan Ben Ghazada with the good news from Iraq. We here at the Good News would like to wish all of you a Happy New Year. Welcome to 2005, year 3 in the history of the new free Iraq. Dateline Fallujah. Erroneous reports by an irresponsible international media have once again painted the urban renewal of formerly squalid Fallujah as a military maneuver. And of course, foolish tenant activists in the slum-ridden town have contributed to that idea via their control of the liberal media. What has really happened is the cleaning of the outmoded center city for the construction of two large sports stadiums. These twin facilities, to be named Bernard Kerik, Rudolph Giuliani, Virgin Mary, Lady Liberty, Fox News Sports Complex, will be inaugurated on April 20th, the birthday of Adolf Hitler of this year, to great fanfare. Kerik and Giuliani will be present at the opening, which will feature an hours-long salute to German culture. Luxury condo towers are to be built nearby, and Kerik has already put dibs on a love nest with a view of the fields. American-style football will be the sport played at both stadiums. A PR firm is working on publicizing the first football teams in Iraq to be called the Crusaders and the Infidels. Free Iraqis can hardly wait. Dateline Baghdad. The January 20th date of free Iraqi elections is less than a month away, and the Iraqi capital is feverishly preparing. A vast tented carnival will occupy the area just outside the green zone, featuring midway games, freak shows, and live recreations of prison tortures. As a gesture of goodwill, and possibly to allow for early parole, Saddam Hussein himself has agreed to participate as the clown in the hit-the-target, dunk-the-clown game. Embedded journalists are already setting up their telescopes in their hotel room windows so that they can get the first-hand accounts of the riotous fun. Sure to be another big attraction is the Abu Ghraib Hellhole Dark Ride, offering Halloween-like scares with reenacted torture scenes featuring live prisoners and coalition GIs. Attendance will be mandatory to all citizens of Baghdad. From 6 to 60, it is sure to make Election Day a memorable one. The good news from Iraq has some good news itself. On December 26th, when the tragic events of South Asia took place, we would like to express our great sadness for the loss of so much life, but at the same time express our great joy at any one event that kept Iraq out of the news for almost 10 days. And now let's go to the numbers. General explosions, up again for the fourth month in a row. Car bombs, through the roof, which has increased investment in used car lots around the country over 600%. Days to full resumption of electrical power here in Baghdad, now projected at 62 months. Days to functioning sewer system and fresh water for Baghdad, figures no longer available. Anarchy index has once again zoomed up to 9.99.99, up from 9.99 last month and dramatically up from the sleepy 0.03 of before the liberation. Again, Happy New Year and welcome to 2005. And this has been Abdullah El Paisan Ben Gazzara with the good news from Iraq.
Mr. President, are you going to help the tsunami victims, or are you going to keep the war in Iraq going?
We can give some money to the tsunami plight, but charity ain't really for me. I like blowing up cities and taking all the oil. That's the kind of thing that I like to see. Now one thing to lead to another, a few good lines can bring a war, that's a fact. Now why should we rebuild half of Indonesia when we can blow up all of Iraq? Just shower the people you hate with bombs, show them the way. You feel things are gonna turn real ugly if you only were here. Do as I say, not here. Shower the people you hate with bombs. War is really such a thrill. Things will all go up in smoke if you're only
Mr. President, are you ever going to find Osama bin Laden?
You can run, but you cannot hide. Still, we haven't found bin Laden yet. But Iraq has oil and some Halliburton contracts. So Osama gets away, I regret. You can tell all the folks who are suffering under the tsunami, America will save them, so chill. First we have unfinished business over there in Iraq, and we'd rather destroy than to build. So just shower the people you hate with bombs. Show them the way you feel. Oh, things are gonna turn real ugly if you're only killed. Won't you listen to me and just shower the people you hate with bombs? War is really such a thrill. Oh, things will all go up in smoke if you're only killed. Shower the people you hate with bombs. Show them the way that you feel. Things
save the people of Indonesia or blow up Iraq? Shower the people you hate with bombs. War is really such a thrill. Shower the people you hate with bombs.
And I grew up in the 60s.
Well,
not really. I grew up in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. We didn't get the 60s, what? 1974. Got the 60s and disco the same week. Tie-dyed leisure suits. But I was forged in the crucible of the Vietnam War, right? So I was very anti-war, and this one turned me around. I mean, I know it's a different culture, but how do you... The rhetoric just went crazy, was ratcheted so high. You had a madman screaming, "Your tanks will swim in a sea of eyeballs!" I'm sorry, what? "The snouts of any blind cave weasels will gnaw at your anal opening." And that was Bush. Oh, come on. He's turned into President Rain Man before our very eyes. He has. It doesn't matter what you ask him anymore. "Mr. President, what about the Social Security bulk? What about stem cell what about Medicare Iraq. Yeah, definitely Iraq. Yeah, it's all Saddam. Saddam, yeah. Yeah, I'm an excellent warmonger. Yeah. Just ask my dad. Gotta use Qantas. Qantas, yeah. Sir, Mr. President, how much do you think this war is going to cost?" "About $100. Yeah, definitely. $100, yeah. Uh-oh, Wapner. Ah! They figure $600 billion to rebuild Iraq over a 10-year period. $600 billion. You know how many Americans are? 280 million. Let's say 250 for arithmetic purposes. So that means every time you say $1 billion, that's $4 for every man, woman, and child in America. $4. So when you say $600 billion, that's 600 times 4. $2,400 from every one of us to rebuild Iraq. Fuck! I'm moving to Baghdad. Perform at the D.C. Improv East. So we're not going to get the Uday joke. Uday, what is it? What is this big Latin? I do not understand. And how does our government, how does the administration plan on getting this $2,400 from every single one of us? With a tax cut. Well, the American people want a tax cut. Well, duh. The American people also want drive-through nickel beer night. The American people want to lose weight by eating ice cream. The American people chew off their own foot if Oprah told them there was liquid gold in their ankle veins. The American people require a warning label on their brake fluid so they don't swallow it. The American people love the Home Shopping Network because it's commercial free. The American people got the same sense a guy gave a bucket of hair. We can't even conceive of suicide terrorists.
Well, how do they get paid?
No, I want to, what is it, like a union thing? They got an HMO? Because I'll tell you something, their dental sucks.
But say what you will about Bush. I say a lot. Doesn't he look like a dog with water stuck in one ear? Say what you will about Bush, man. He has managed to reunite France and Germany. Russia and China are holding hands. He is a uniter, not a divider or a multiplier. We got the French accusing us of imperialism. South Africa's threatening sanctions. And the German justice minister called Bush's tactics Hitler-like. Let me repeat that. German just Bush hit. We just get called a Nazi by Germany. That's not good. I looked that one up too. That's not good. It's like having your drug intervention hosted by Robert Downey Jr. and Daryl Strawberry's driving the van. Whitney Houston slumped over registration. Bobby Brown pawing through her purse. You know, they call it a coalition. But we all know it's not a coalition. It's 140,000 Americans, 200 Brits, and one Aussie to keep the beer cold, and that's about it. You got Blair and you got Bush, and you couldn't have two more divergent personalities. You know, you listen to Blair. We fervently believe and extremely confident that our contention that Saddam possesses voluminous amounts of weapons of mass destruction will eventually be borne out to a decidedly drastic degree. And then you hear Bush, bring it on! Either you're with us or you're against us. Come on! Who wants a piece of me? Like good cop, drunk cowboy cop. I keep waiting for Bush to put a stone in his boot and walk around calling people pilgrim. I mean, the Canadian Prime Minister's Director of Communications called Bush a moron. Did you see that? Moron. I've heard international insults before. They're usually tinged with a tone of diplomacy. Yes, well, we're not sure. We're thinking that, you know, he might be not the sharpest knife in the drawer. Moron! Not even politically correct. I don't think it's right. I think he's special. He's our special commander-in-chief. He attended Yale on the little bus. What's wrong with that? This is the land of opportunity.
Somebody like Rudolph Giuliani. Here's a man who has effectively sucked the spirit out of this city. And he's trying to make it, it's almost like an intensive care unit of a hospital. Totally hygienic, where everything is pumping efficiently. But there's nothing but kind of fear that another germ will get in, and loathing for a little bit of litter, and a total disrespect for poor people, for minorities, there's none, and an insensitivity, and a yapping about morality. Malachy McCourt here, and this is WBAI listener-sponsored radio in New York City.
Through the door. It's been Rumsfeld's orders, haven't you heard? Everyone receives torture.
All right, now, what's this about the right of a human being? What's this about a Geneva Convention protecting someone from very extreme interrogation? Listen, this is a whole new deal out there. Let me just tell you what our policy is.
Everyone must be tortured. They'll torture you when you're at the breakfast table. They'll torture you when you are young and able. They'll torture you when you're trying to make a buck. They'll torture you and then they'll say good luck. It's an Ashcroft memo. Have you heard? You see, everyone must be tortured. They'll torture you and say that it's the end. They'll torture you and then they'll come back again. They'll torture you when you're riding in your car. They'll torture you when you're playing your guitar. It's in Bush's order, have you heard? Everyone must be tortured. They'll torture you when you are all alone. They'll torture you when you are walking home. They'll torture you when they say that you are brave. They'll torture you when you're down in your grave. It's in Bush's orders, ain't you heard? Ah, everyone must be tortured.
Ooh. Time for some extreme interrogation. Human rights? I ain't ever heard about human rights. Geneva Convention? Ha! I got the Republican Convention. You talking about war crimes? I say drop a dime.
We all believed you as president. What man would lie when the Twin Towers went? Our shock and awe came from old Uncle Sam. You made us suckers in a carnival scam. We had Al-Qaeda, Afghanistan. That guy Bin Laden, the Taliban. They didn't faze you, you'd already chosen. Was Saddam who'd get that big bulldozing. Saddam ain't Hitler, he ain't Ho Chi Minh. No Iron Curtain fencing us in. It's Halliburton that we're dying for. We use our might just to fight George Bush's private war. You may have skipped on the National Guard to go out drinking and partying hard. That silver spoon that was born in your puss ain't gonna help you not to look like a wuss. So get your helmet, I'll get your gun. We'll hitch a ride on Air Force One. You need your shut eye, so go hit the sack. Tomorrow morning we will land in Iraq. Saddam ain't Hitler, he ain't Ho Chi Minh. No Joseph Stalin, starving a sin. It's Halliburton that we're dying for. We use our might just to fight George Bush's private war. We're sick of hearing your voice on TV talking about how you want to make history. This is what happens when you when he never read a history book. Now we're in Baghdad, this is your war. Fight it yourself and settle the score. All the real heroes that you jerked about will sing this song to you as they're marching out. Saddam's not Hitler, he ain't Ho Chi Minh, no Mao Zedong with his cultural whim. You and Dick Cheney just love blood and gore, so go and fight, take their place. Wipe that smirk right off your face, we call your bluff and will no more. Use our might just to fight George Bush's private war.
We take you now live to the Oval Office, where Vice President Dick Cheney and the Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice are arriving for a meeting with the President of the United States, George W. Bush.
Good morning, Mr. President.
Mr. President, where are you?
I guess this is another one of those meetings where the President is hiding in the sub-basement of the White House again.
Oh, here is a note written in purple crayon.
The President's favorite crayon.
Dear Condi and Dick, I am hiding in the sub-basement of the White House again.
Our fearless leader.
I just may tell the President you said that, Dick.
Well, as Secretary of State, Condi, you will want to be a little more diplomatic.
The President continues, I will call you on the speakerphone to explain this latest threat to national security.
La-di-da.
You'd better watch it, Dick.
Well, there's the phone. It's lighting up a call from the President, Condi.
I know that, Dick.
Well, good morning, Mr. President.
Mr. President, why are you hiding in the sub-basement of the White House again?
Mr. President?
Mr. President? Hello, Mr. President? Are you hiding there?
I don't think Mr. President's,
Condi, Dick.
There, yes. There, Mr.
Yes,
President.
You're deep, deep down in the sub-basement, huh?
I think I may be a victim of torture.
Torture, Mr. President?
Well, what happened, Mr. President?
I was asleep. Last night, I was asleep.
Yeah.
I was in the Lincoln bedroom.
Yes.
I like it there. It's fun.
Right.
And I was hoping some of the, you know, that Honest Abe stuff would rub off on me. You know, guys, that what do you think? That I'm going to change my name to Abe? I could be Abe Bush. Abraham W. Bush.
Well,
what do you think?
I don't think it's necessary, Mr. President.
I think that people like you the way you are.
Well, Condi's right about that.
Well, it was just an idea.
Well,
what about this being a victim of torture, Mr. President?
Well, I was sleeping in Lincoln's bed, sleeping like a log. Do you know? You know, guys, that Lincoln was born in a log cabin that he built with his own hands?
Well, Lincoln was a great Republican.
You said you think you were a victim of torture, Mr. President.
I don't know how else to explain it, Connie.
Explain what?
What happened, Mr. President?
It may just have been, Al-Qaeda that did it. This may be. Or maybe it was the Democrats.
Yes, either Teddy or Osama.
Well, it's two brands of evil.
Whatever it was, whatever.
Yeah.
Teddy Kennedy, Barbara Boxer, Kim Jong 3.
Yeah.
Some evil empire, some evil entity penetrating the Lincoln bedroom where I was sleeping like a log and caused me to have a weird dream.
A weird dream, Mr. President.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. President.
Well, you deserve a good night's sleep, Mr. President.
Yes.
I know I do, Dick. I'd like to have a good night's sleep.
Yeah.
But I have a bad dream.
Yeah.
A bad dream,
yeah.
All right? And I don't have bad dreams.
Right.
This president will not tolerate bad dreams. That's how I know someone was trying to torture me.
Uh-huh.
I dreamt it was last Halloween, right before the election. I had you and Condi here in the Oval Office just 2 weeks bobbing for apples.
Oh, well, that is a bad dream, Mr. President. Bad.
No. That's the good part, Dick.
Oh.
I like watching you two compete. And Condi was beating you, Dick. Two apples to one.
Well, that sounds like a good dream, Mr. President.
But then it turned bad, Condi.
Oh.
Because in the dream, I made a crazy announcement. Condi, Dick, I have decided to lose the election. And when we do, we are all going to go to Sweden.
Hmm.
Do you mean Switzerland, Mr. President?
I mean Sweden, Connie.
Huh?
The Carlyle Group is buying Sweden, and I will be crowned King of Sweden when we lose the election.
Well, I hope there's something in it for Halliburton, but how can we lose the election, Mr. President? Fox News poll says we're going to win. Huh?
No, what? I am going to lose, Dick. It's a strategy.
Oh.
Well, why do we want to lose, Mr. President?
Because when I lose the election, I will still be president all the way till the next January, you know, sometime.
Yeah.
And that's plenty of time to exact my revenge against those battleground states that go against me.
Hmm.
I don't think I like the United States much, you know, anymore.
Well,
okay?
Yeah.
I don't like the blue states.
Well.
If Ohio becomes a blue state and goes against me, then Ohio will be with the terrorists. And on Thanksgiving Day, okay, I will still be president.
Yeah.
And I will drop an atomic bomb on Cincinnati. Michigan goes blue. We will A-bomb Detroit.
Right.
I will continue the war on terrorism all the way till January sometime.
Hmm.
Then on to Stockholm. And you know what's really great about all this, Dick?
Well, mass slaughter.
Amassing more wealth.
What's really great about all this is that Osama bin Laden has already promised not to attack Sweden. So that means I will be safe. Now, Bob, some more apples for me.
Yes, Mr. President.
Then I woke up.
Well, it's good you did, Mr. President.
Won the apple bobbing.
Yeah.
I won the apple bobbing, and you didn't lose the election, Mr. President.
I almost drowned, but the bad dream is over, Mr. President. We won the election.
And that reality is better than your bad dream, Mr. President.
Except for one thing, Gandhi.
What's that, Mr. President?
I still won. That gig is King of Sweep.
I hate Republicans. I hate Republicans. Maybe I can't stand those Republicans. Fight the old Republican Party. The joke is high. They feel no obligation. They put their faith and trust.
President and presidents of the United States, Randy Credico. Randy, you there, parked nicely? Hello?
Hello, Randy.
Earth to Randy. Are you there, Randy? He may have left us. We'll be calling him back. Hope you can hear him. Stand hearing this song again.
We love the song.
We are the conservative communists. Comedy players, here this may be him. Let's see if he is. Hello, you're on the air. Are you Randy Credico? Hello?
Will you settle for me, though? I'm not Randy Credico.
Well, what have you got to ask Randy or the president?
I want to know if Jeb Bush is there, because I understand he hired a writer who was charged with plagiarism.
He starts with plagiarism, you say?
He hired a writer who was charged.
Oh, who is that writer? You speak up a little bit louder? A little louder.
Say again?
Speak up louder. We can't quite hear you.
What I said, that someone sent me an email saying that Jeb Bush hired a writer.
A writer who was charged with plagiarism, but you don't know who that writer was and what that charge is, right?
Right. Well, I know what the charge is, plagiarism.
Well, that's a great charge, but we don't know for what act of plagiarism, right?
Could you be a little bit more vague?
A little more vague.
I didn't really.
Thank you. I'll tell you what, we will find out whether we have Jeb Bush racing along the highways of Texas along with his brother.
I suspect he'll be the next runner in 208.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks. Now, we're going to be taking your calls at 212-209-2900 and simultaneously trying to get the President of the United States back on the phone. So put your fingers on the dials, and here we go trying to get Randy. But this may be you, the listener. Let's hear that. You're on the air. Hello? Hello? This is WBAI. Is this the President of the United States, Jeb Bush, or a listener?
And you're on the air.
No, he isn't. You're on the air. Hello?
I'm on the air.
Yes, hello, President.
The President is still driving on a highway in Texas.
Well, I wish
you have a question?
Speed, and I want to know whatever happened in Ohio, and how come you and Reverend Al Sharpton didn't run on the same ticket?
Like I said, the President isn't here. You'll have to address us generically, or address him for later. We will ask him why he didn't run with Al Sharpton.
Because it would have been a landslide vote, and I'm sure that he probably would have had his hair done also. Okay,
thanks
like
a lot.
That pompadour look.
Okay, thank you.
He's old school, Al.
All righty. And you are on the air. Hello, WBAI. Yeah. Hello?
Hello, how are you?
Hello, who's this?
God bless America. America's great.
Now this sounds like the man here. Okay. Now, may I make one little suggestion, Mr. President?
I'll try to understand what you're saying.
Okay, this is my advice to you, that you call back at 212-209-2901 just as fast as you can. 209, okay, that was good. He was, all
now,
right.
Now, don't anybody else call that number, of course.
No.
This will be the honor
you
system.
You do, we are really.
And if you do call, your taxes will be increased by 20 cents a minute.
And that's Dick Cheney calling that number there. And you're on the air. Hello? Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning. Now we're talking. Okay. Mr. President, we are going to be receiving phone calls for you, and
Hope you screen the calls.
Well, we already...
Screen the calls.
Right, we should call Gary from Staten Island direct, I think.
Yes, I want Gary there.
We already had two...
Staten Island.
Two questions. One is Jeb Bush with you, and has he hired a writer to who plagiarizes the history of plagiarism?
I don't understand what that means. I don't know what plagiarize means. I know what plague means. It's
okay.
Plague of questions. Plagiarize means you put a lot of plagues out there. I don't know if Jeb's not into plagues. He's out there helping out those victims of the tsunami plague.
I see. So you deny that he
plagiarizing all over Southeast Asia.
Okay, good for him.
1 week. Amazing. In 1 week in that tsunami, which is not really a tsunami, it's a tsunami. People don't pronounce the T. I'm the only smart one there. And the tsunami, a lot of people died. More in a day than it took Kissinger a month to kill that many people in Southeast Asia.
So
we need an anti-tsunami missile system. That's what we're working on right now, me and Jeb, an anti-tsunami missile system.
Okay.
Which we can get done for less than $1 trillion.
And we
our group.
We have a caller on the air, I believe, for you, and you're on the... Oh, no, wrong.
Roger Stone.
You're on the air with the President of the United States. Hello.
Hello, yes. I'd like to know why he didn't run with Debbie the Dominatrix.
What?
He wants to know why he didn't run with Debbie the Dominatrix, but somebody else called also while you were busy driving asking why you didn't run with Al Sharpton.
I think it's important. I stay in the background throughout the Bush administration.
I could help out, do better for him, influence the black community by not being out there on the surface. Thank you very much, Mr. Sharp.
Mr. President, a lot of people are querying about after the Twin Towers disaster, and you finished reading My Pet Goat, what action did you take against the Bin Laden family?
I got them out of the country. I rounded them up, got them out of the country. I said, get the hell out of here. I took exact revenge on the Bin Laden family. People say I gave them special treatment. I did. I gave them the rough treatment. I said, get out.
And I believe there is someone on the line. You're on the air. Hello?
Yes, I'd like to know if our military used the HAARP, which is the High Altitude Aurora Research Project, or the stolen Nikola Tesla works on earthquake making.
Wow.
That's a
which,
lot of questions.
Which one did they use in Indonesia? I mean, Australia found out that there was a 9.2 on the Richter scale and informed our military, and they chose to do nothing.
I thought you were screening these calls. You're supposed to screen these calls.
All right, so I'm screening Bush.
What's this? Supposed to screen these calls.
Sorry,
Mr. President.
I was on WABC. What kind of station are you?
Mr. President, what do you think about the hearings this week about your favorite Humberto Gonzalez?
He's a good man, Humberto Gonzalez, and he's my second choice.
Who was your first choice?
My first choice is Augusto Pinochet, and he's under house arrest.
Do you think he'd live out your administration anyway?
I think he's a good man.
Good man.
Good man.
Good man.
Make the world safe for theocracy.
And you're on the air with the president.
Oh, Mr. President, I am a God-fearing American. My job. I lost my health insurance. I live in the street in a cardboard box, but I bless you. Now tell me, since you talked to God, do you have the lottery numbers for next week?
I'm glad that you asked that question. I don't think money's good for poor people. I think you're better off poor. You're better off poor because you got a chance to make it to heaven. More people will go to heaven. That's why I'm trying to get more people to heaven as possible.
And you're
God
on the...
bless you. Stay poor. Stay poor.
You're on the air with the president.
Hi, I'm calling from Victoria, British Columbia, Canada.
Wow.
And I just heard some unusual...
That's a long way.
Unusual news that caused me great concern. Mr. President, I heard you were driving around in Texas. Are you drunk?
I don't drink anymore. Okay. Hours ago.
Because, you're drinking
hours
and driving.
Hours ago, I stopped. I joined a program. I okay. joined a program. I'm George W. Bush. I got 120 minutes sober.
Mr. President, I understand you're down in Texas with your family to witness some executions.
We're having the picnic at Huntsville tomorrow morning.
You're on the air. I'm so sorry. You're on the air?
Yes, I'm sitting on my toilet bowl, and God is talking to me. What shall I tell him?
Sitting on your what?
Toilet bowl.
Toilet bowl.
God talks to me any place.
I don't have to use the restroom, so I don't know what a toilet bowl is.
And
I don't have to go. I'm above that kind of bodily function.
Above bodily functions, and please...
I don't have to poop, is what I mean.
And let's hope that you also refrain from bodily functions, caller.
Mr. President, can you predict what the elections in Iraq will be in a couple of weeks' time?
I believe, according to the results just in.
But they haven't voted yet. How do you have the results?
We're using Iraqi Dabal machines. And Alawi won 99% of the vote, and I got to congratulate him on a great campaign.
Hello?
Yes, I think we have a caller on the air.
Yes.
Please ask the question.
A great job,
yes, Mr. President, I understand the theme for your inauguration will be Tijuana Nights. Can you address that, please?
Tijuana Nights, yes. Tijuana Nights. There's going to be a lot of Mexican-speaking people at my election.
And I'm sorry to interrupt the president of these United States. That was the... CCCP, the first Thursday of every month here on WBAI, WBAI.org. We're at 99.5 FM, 16...